y'all subdued, amen. Amen. I'm glad to see all of you. I tell you, it's been a while since we've been able to get together and enjoy good fellowship. And man, what an honor. What an honor. We live in some interesting times, don't we? Who would have ever thought they'd shut the country down and do all that they've done and all of these actions? Then, of course, the riots and the protesting and things of that nature. What a mess. I was telling our church, though, I said, you know, it's interesting to me. What's happening is interesting to me because there's going to come a day, the Lord tarries is coming, we're going to be able to say we live during these times. It's a very unique time to live. And the opportunities are really unseen. There's nobody alive today. I was mentioning some time back, I said there's no one alive today who can say they've ever experienced this ever before. But we're here. We're here. And I think it's kind of interesting. I'm not saying I like it. It's interesting. And I think it offers us a great opportunity to just stay close to the Lord, provide the words of encouragement to those around us, and just kind of get a handle on what's going on around us. I'm not sure I felt the Lord lead in different directions this morning as far as I am concerned, but I think if you'll allow me, it's hard not to live in these days and not preach on some of the things that are going on. So if I would, let me invite you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number, I believe it's chapter 19 that I'm thinking of. And I just want to share with you some thoughts on what our church is, what I'm teaching and preaching to our church on these issues concerning all of the protests. And Acts chapter number 19, I believe, is the passage there. I don't even have my notes here this morning, so just bear with me. If you will, let's begin reading. I'm going to read a few verses, so just follow along if you'd like to. In Acts chapter number 19. In Acts chapter number 19, there's a huge protest that takes place. I mean, it's an uproar. But there's some motivating factors involved. As I read this, the Bible says in verse number 23, of course, 22 says, "So he," talking about Paul, "went into Macedonia, sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man," no small stir about that way. What was the way? Of course, is the way of faith, this doctrine, this teaching, the gospel message. "Well, in the midst of this, a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, said, 'Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth,'" talking about the money they make. "And yet," verse number 26, "you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. "So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana, that it should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.' And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions, rushed with one accord into the theater." When Paul, he would have entered, verse number 30, when he would have entered into the people, "the disciples suffered him not. Certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused." I love this part. This probably defines a lot of churches, amen. "And the more part knew not whereof they were come together. The Bible says, they drew Alexander out of the multitude of the Jews, putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand that he would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.' And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, 'Ye men of Ephesus, What man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of the goddess Diana and the image which fell from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. Yeah, I thought about it, and he goes on, evidently, thank God for the town clerk, amen, because it would have gotten real bad. But here was a situation I think in many ways depicts what's going on in our country. And there's a lot of things that are involved. I said, you know, when you see all the protesters out there, I said there's really three types of people. I said, one, there's the shouters. The shouters are those that have a legitimate protest. Hey, what happened to George Floyd was wrong, okay? And so the shouters right there, those are the legitimate protesters. And God help me, we have that right in America. We have the ability to do that. We have the right to protest, assemble together and protest an injustice. We have that right. So there are the shouters, but then secondly, there are the shooters. The shooters is that organized bunch that is out that really don't care anything about George Floyd or so-called injustices. Their desire is to destroy and to change our whole governmental system. They're the ones with the organized and suppliers of bricks and bottles and Molotov cocktails and even bombs and things of that nature. So there's the shouters, legitimate protesters, the shooters that are out to just destroy. And by the way, they don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. They want to destroy. I mean, how many, not only black people killed, but black businesses destroyed? On and on and on it goes. So they don't care about the black angle, so to speak. But then thirdly, so we have the shouters, the shooters. Thirdly is the shoppers. You know, they don't care about George Floyd. They're not interested in getting involved in anarchy. Their moms and dads would probably beat them to death if they did. They just want to get that big screen TV. And so you have those three people that are involved as far as what we see on TV. But what led to all of this? And I'm working through the messages, and I haven't completed yet. But first, I said this. You've heard it said, there is not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. But I want to submit to you this morning that there is a skin problem. There is a skin problem. But it's not in the manner that you might think. I said this in my notes, that the way you are born, black, white, Hispanic, Native American, the color of skin that you are born into has a huge influence on your path of life. You are brought up, most of you in here are white, you're all white as far as I can tell from here, that you are brought up, you are going to be brought up in a certain culture that will be different from the black culture. It'll be different from the Hispanic culture. It'll be different from the Native American culture. And what happens is our skin color has a way of directing how we think and how we see life. So the issue really becomes not so much white on black or black on white or whatever you want to use. It's our own viewpoints that we're brought up in. That may produce something to have to be overcome. Sometimes we define the cultural difference as being racial divides. Somebody might come up and share with me, maybe a black person we could say, would come up to me and share with me rap music. I don't care for rap music. Well, what's wrong? You must be a racist. It's not being racist. I wasn't brought up in that environment. And so there may be, I think a lot of times what gets defined as racial is primarily cultural. When I see this outrage in Acts chapter number 9, you know what I see? A cultural divide. A cultural divide. They blew up at the Apostle Paul because he was trying to introduce to... Hey, by the way, can I say this? Christianity... Boy, this is good here. Christianity is its own culture. Hey, man, Brother Brian, boy, if we would understand that. That's why the church house ought not be a place of universal cultural beliefs. That's why in the church house it shouldn't be white or black or Hispanic or whatever. It should be all together, because when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, we're admonished to put away some of the old things, the old cultures, and embrace the culture of our faith. Guess what? If a black man does that, we're going to, and I do that, and an Hispanic person does that, and the Indian person does that, we're going to find ourselves in the same identifying culture, serving God together. But you know, we do live in a day of hyphenated Christianity. I get mad for saying this, but it's a great illustration. If I was to tell you this, if I was to mention bikers for Christ. Oh, there's some people, boy, they just love their bikers, their biker church. Love it. But when you think about a biker's church, you don't think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about bikes. And this is the real good one. Don't hate me for this, but because it's an illustration. But cowboy churches. I know. Believe me, I get people in my own church get mad at me when I say this kind of stuff. Oh, they love the Lord. I know. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, anytime we hyphenate our faith, we're putting emphasis on whatever we're hyphenating it with. Bikers for Christ, Christian tattoo shops, Christian rock, Christian rap, Christian country, and cowboy churches. But see, you know, the Lord doesn't invite that. I love what Ruth said. Ruth said, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And there's a whole message in that. But I do believe there is a skin issue to have to overcome. Anytime somebody tries to move away from their culture, they're seen as being less authentic to who they are. In the black community, if a black man says, "Hey, I believe like the Republicans believe," well, he ain't black. See? It's that very thing, same thing. You as a white person, if you maybe somebody in your family starts moving toward things that are identified as other ethnic type defining points, rap music, I mentioned that. You may be seeing your children that, boy, they sure are embracing this rap music or that rap culture. Well, he ain't really white. And we start doing that kind of stuff. And we would be wise to understand the principle so that you and I don't find ourselves trying to define, am I racial? Am I a racist? Most people are not racist. But there is a cultural difference that may be need to be defined or addressed, to where you don't find yourself in an awkward position anytime a black man comes around or an Indian person or Hispanic. Listen, my wife is married to a Spanish lady. Believe me, there's a cultural difference. And both of them have to deal with that. When you have an interracial marriage, you're going to have issues on both sides. Because of the culture. That's all. We have to understand that. And God's interested in keeping the Christian culture something that is inclusive of all sorts of people. But when individuals try to bring their past into the house of God, it creates problems. It creates problems. There is a skin problem. Secondly, there is a sin problem. There is a sin problem. The skin here, remember they said when this Alexander stood up, they found out he was a Jew. No, we don't want to hear from this Jew. We know how they think. We know their culture. We don't want to hear from them. Not only that, I said there's a sin problem. We see that these individuals were led by their money. There is a deep state. There is. I don't want to say that it goes so, you know, how deep it goes, but I believe there are definitely alternative motives within our leadership as far as the country,
right.
and that is so. And I do love Donald Trump. I believe he'll go down as the best president we've ever had.
Right.
I do, and I don't think he's perfect in every way. I don't, but he is a leader,
yeah.
And there is no doubt he loves this country.
Yeah.
No doubt at all. But here these individuals, they said, listen, moreover, verse number 26, you see in here that in not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people. And he said that there be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this, our craft is in danger. In other words, you're upsetting the apple cart here. He's upsetting the apple cart. He said to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the goddess Diana should be despised with her magnificence and so forth and so on. There was a sin problem, selfishness. It's all about me.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Right.
Me, me, me. Me, me, me. There, I was kind of saying it jokingly, but it's true. But I said, it's a bad day to be a statue.
Yeah.
It don't matter. It don't matter what you are depicting. They want to put a rope around you and jerk you off your pedestal. It's a bad day to be a statue in America. And why? Because of sin.
Yeah.
I don't care what that person ever stood for, what that image represents.
Right.
I just want to tear something down. I won't be able to say I did something. And so there is a sin problem. And I'll say thirdly, and then I'm going to quit here, and probably most pertinent is that there is a spin problem. There is a spin problem. The narratives that our media is setting forth is destructive. Destructive. This town clerk here that stood up there in verse number 35, he goes on to say, listen, don't be so rash. He said, you brought hither these men, verse number 37. Remember, the spin was old Demetrius. They're come to destroy our way of life. They're going to destroy everything. They're going to change everything. Well, that's exactly what he said. But this person here said, verse number 38 said, wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. He goes on to say, we're in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when they had thus spoken, they dismissed the assembly. But the narrative. Do you know, I've been listening to it. By the way, there are some good black conservatives. You listen to me. If there's one thing all this stuff has done, is it allowed me to be introduced to some good black conservative believers in Christ. And the statistics they bring up, these pesky facts, amen, they fly in the face of what most people even know. For instance, you realize, obviously, most people don't realize the Democrats have always been the ones that have been racist over the years. The strong arm of the Democratic Party back in the day was the KKK. You know, it was the Democratic Party that brought in minimum wage. You know what minimum wage did? Minimum wage took a black person right after slavery who could market himself to work at a lower wage, and made them now have to be in competition with these educated white people.
Yeah, right.
And they lost all the jobs. But who designed that? It was the Democratic Party for that very purpose. And on and on and on we could go. You know, they don't realize that if you told most black people that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, they'd say you were lying, but he was. And on and on and on it goes. But here's the thing. 50 million interactions with police over the course of a year, 2019. 50 million interaction with police officers. You know how many unarmed people were killed by the police? Around 50. Do you know how many were black? Well, I heard 9. Now, that's more than one every other month. And if you're in the media and that's the only stories you cover as a black person, you would think, my goodness, there's another black man that's been killed. I asked a lady at our church, a black lady, I said, if I was to ask you how many black people were killed by the police, who would you tell me? And I'm telling without a doubt, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, she spouted off these names left and right. I said, what about white people been killed by police?
Come on, yeah.
I said, you know how many unarmed white people were killed by police? 20.
Yep.
Why? There's no story there. There's no narrative. There's no narrative. And the spin issue is definitely a part of it. And I hope maybe during these days that we live, I think there's a great opportunity for us as God's people and preachers and believers to maybe be used to bridge some of this gap and see great things done for God. You're not a racist just because you have a different culture. And let them know that. I think that was, by the way, you know who spurred on desegregation? The Republicans. Not the Democrats. Now, no doubt desegregation was tough on our nation. But if there's one thing it did, it allowed us to be introduced to one another's culture. And guess what we found out? It wouldn't kill us. The other culture wouldn't kill us. And so we live in that time. When I think about all this that's going on in this world, I look at it and I say, my goodness, man, the narrative is that white people are always trying to hurt black people. But I'm telling you, that is not the truth. You know what the population of the black people are in our country? 15%. How many of you knew that? Not many people know that. That's a small amount compared to the nearly 75% white. Have you, any of you guys ever been the only white person in a black church? Yeah, me too. I went and visited a black church as a missionary, and I didn't realize, but I learned real quick, but that in the black church culture, if you're a minister, you sit on the platform. I love it. It's just different. It's a different culture. Here's my point in that. You know, can you imagine us coming into a black church as the only white person, how we may feel? We don't know anybody in there. Sometimes I think we ought to understand the difference in the ratios. And maybe, again, I think And by the way, the predominant entity can never cry foul.
Amen.
That's why white people can't cry racism.
That's right.
You can, but it's not going to work. We're the predominant race in our country.
Right.
And any of the minorities can cry foul.
Yeah.
You just got to understand that's the way it is. That's why I think it was Brother Engelman who mentioned about how our public schools can have Islam and they can have Satanists. They can have all these other false religions. But the Christian faith, because it's still predominant, it's not allowed because it's seen as a bully entity that's trying to overcome everything. And we got to have this inclusion. That's why I say the Christian faith is never, ever, it can stand on its own. But we live in a society that's trying to tie its hands, amen? But I just encourage you, you know, when we look around, just know there is a skin problem. Be wise to learn that. Obviously, there's a sin problem. But without a doubt, there is a spin problem. Be careful what you hear. Amen.
Glad we haven't had a fellowship meeting in a while, because usually in June ain't too many preachers show up. We got a good crowd today.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
The last time I had the fellowship meeting, we were able to preach every preacher that was there, with the exception of me and my associate. All right, and we ain't gonna get it done today. Doing our best. All right, page 25. You can be seated.
are now saved, blood washed by the Lamb. My brother's a king, the son of I am. Sometimes I forget to whom I belong. Then the sweet spirit cries, my child, I'm still on the throne. He's still on the throne.
He's still on the throne.
So what could be wrong?
Nothing can be wrong.
It's well with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
Let the stormy winds blow.
Let the stormy winds blow.
I'm reminded today. Sweet song while ages roll on, he's still on the throne. Oh, Satan has power, and sometimes I'm weak. At times I give up, and he walks over me. Then someone comes by with words loud and strong. Arise, my child, it is I am still on the throne. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong?
Nothing can be wrong.
It's well with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
Let the stormy winds blow. Sweet song while ages roll on, he's still on the throne.
Salvation, sweet song while ages roll on, he's still on the throne.
No. They've already stretched their legs. They don't need to sing, all right? We need more preaching. Need more preaching. Brother Knickerbocker, I figure if we work, we can get three in from here until the quitting time. Brother Knickerbocker, if you'll come, Brother Sutton, you be ready after him, all right? And then Brother Leek, you're going to close us out. Now, it's been good. Don't mess it up, all right? Don't mess it up, whatever you do.
Wow. We've heard some preaching, haven't we? These guys get excited about that politics onto it. Isn't it fun to be able to talk about politics? Man, I want to tell you, that was good, brother. I really appreciate what you said about that cultural issue. It is huge. Huge. Listen to this. This is a black preacher, Byron Donalds. He's out of Naples, Florida. He's a conservative Republican. Here's what he said, and this is what every preacher must hear. The church is the largest political body in the country without question. It's bigger than the Republicans. It's bigger than the Democrats. If the church was engaged, it would be the driving force in politics in our country. You may not care about politics, but politics cares about you, especially if it's right. It does every single day. And if Christians don't take their responsibility accordingly, then they're going to see the world change under their feet. We already have. And I want to tell you, you better do a registration drive to get people out to vote. If somebody says to you, well, politics is dirty, it's because Christians are not clean. That's the reason. Wow. Take your Bibles, would you? Go with me to Exodus 14. It's a joy to be here. And I was with Brother Hardin just recently in their revival with Brother Noble. And he said, man, I'm pushing to get this thing going again. Thank the Lord for you men that make these things happen. Exodus chapter 14. I want you to look with me there at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye what? Don't you worry about a thing. Now, do you understand where they are? They're right there by the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming. There's no place to go. They're going to go back into captivity. You know, why do we draw conclusions when God's involved? We have no right to even question the situation that we're in. Yeah. Man, second week in March, I got, 17 cancellations. Man, that's an exciting time. And the very first thought that came to me, what are we going to do? And the Lord, He just said to me, that's not your problem. You're not to worry about. I got this. I got this. And I wish I had the time just to share with you how he got it. I want to tell you, it's been exciting. And I know that this COVID is dangerous. Things are increased. We're going to have to go to the masks and all that stuff. And we know those that want us to and want a depression, they're praying for a recession. That's how bad they want Trump out. But anyway, the whole point that I want to bring out is this. He told Moses at one of the most scary times of his life. He told the people. Boy, that's leadership right there. Fear ye not. Stand still. That means don't get ahead of God. Don't get behind God. Just relax. Take a deep breath. And see the salvation of the Lord. Why don't you give God a chance to work, is what he's saying. Which he will show you today. Not next month. Right now. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. I'll take that promise. See, God's not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? Aren't you glad we don't have a liar for our God? Amen. Now watch this, 14. The Lord shall fight for you. And you just need to hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? You got to know that there's dialogue going on between Moses and God. I can guarantee you. I mean, he was talking to the Israelites with great positivity. This is what God's going to do. And then the Lord says to Moses, why criest thou to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may do what? There's a time to stand still, and there's a time to go forward. And I'll tell you what, we better know what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. Well, we know the great victory. We know it, chapter 15. Turn there quickly. I didn't give you the title of my message, but it's, Have You Lost Your Song? A lot of Christians losing their song. Oh, this COVID. They're crabbing and complaining, and I don't like preaching to a church where there's no people sitting out there. And I'm not going to tell you who it was, but somebody said, it's kind of been nice not to have to go to church. And I'm not talking about the lay people right there. Look at verse 15. Or chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses, of course, this is after the great victory there at the Red Sea. Boy, wasn't that a victory. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is our God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Go to verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrel and with dance. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Everybody's excited. Until verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses. See, we're just like the Israelites. There's really not a difference really in humanity. And I know there's cultural differences, and I understand that. But basically, man is the same when he gets in the flesh. That's our problem. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't worry about anything. When the bottom drops out, you go, "Okay, Lord, I'm in a free fall right now. How are you going to finish this up for me?" You see, there's such an important thing that we must learn as leaders, is that we cannot afford to be in the flesh. We've got to be in the Spirit. Now go with me quickly over to Deuteronomy 32, and I'm almost done. Deuteronomy 32. Oh, look at that. Chapter 32 is the song of who? Moses. Yeah, the song of Moses. And I want to just take a moment and draw you to verse 10. He found him in the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. Number one, he found him. Aren't you glad the Lord knows we're in Texas? Aren't you glad the Lord knows right where you... He found you. He knows where you are. And he even knows how many hairs you have on your head. Some more than others. But anyway, he knows. He found us. Number two. Notice, not only did he find us, but then it says he led him about. God is very... He's very capable of being a good leader. He leads me. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. He leadeth me. I'm led by God. I'm not led by popularity or position or power. We're led by God Almighty. So really, when you're led by God, you've got everything he has. Aren't we heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? We have everything God wants us to have. And here we are trying to do something to make ourselves great when we are already with the greatest. How dare we try to usurp authority over God? So not only does he find us, but you know, some Baptists won't even let him lead them. So not all people are being led by God. Are you being led by God? Number three, he instructs us. Now, I never was much of a good student. I enjoyed school so much, I repeated second grade and seventh grade. Yeah, my favorite courses were eating and recess. Yeah. Got to college, and I won't talk to you about the relationship I had with my Greek professor, but anyway, We are not good at taking instruction. Some of us. Now, some of us are very good at it. But sometimes we don't take instruction very well. The Holy Spirit impresses upon us to do something, and then we just don't do it. We sometimes are procrastinators. Oh, I'll do it later, and it never happens. You see? So how can the Almighty God work with his almighty power if we can't take instruction? Many Christians aren't teachable. But boy, if you get a pastor who's not teachable, we're in trouble. Isn't that true? Now, he not only instructs us, but then he kept him. He kept him. You know, we're looking for the rapture. I really am. The crown of glory to be ushered into the presence of Almighty God. That's going to be a great day. But until that day, we are kept by God. Now, I know our country's in a mess. Did you know our country's always been in a mess? There's never been an era of time where our country didn't have all the things that it has right now. So don't get nervous. Because we're kept by the power of God. We're kept in His hand. Now, should we social distance? I have no problem with that. Should we wear a mask? I have no problem with that. Of course, I don't like bad breath, so I don't like to wear one. Amen. But the truth is, those are all little teeny things that I hear a lot of Christians griping about. They never read that chapter you read, brother. They don't know what problems are. We are such a cushioned, easygoing, gotta have it our way society that the littlest teeny things we gripe about. Get over it. Those things are not a big deal. You know what the problem is? The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Oh, we know the verse. But none of us are really being persecuted. We say, boy, I don't know if I want to put that up on Facebook. I wouldn't want to offend Facebook. Don't worry about that. They'll take you off. Huh? Are we afraid? Well, what will people think of us? That's what's wrong with the rhinos. Because they know one of these days, Trump's not going to be the president, and they're going to have to live with all that nonsense, and they'd rather live with the nonsense than take a stand against it. Even former presidents. So we have a problem, but the Savior can solve every problem. If He can hang the world on nothing, I don't have to worry about anything. And let's say we get persecuted. Well, that's probably because we're living godly. I would think that the opposite of not being persecuted would be living ungodly. And there's a lot of Christians that are doing that. That's why we're losing all these votes. And all these corrupt politicians keep coming back. It's because the righteous are not in authority. Therefore, the people don't rejoice. Yeah. He were kept by God. And then He also calls us the apple of His eye. I don't know why. He could love us so much. Well, He's perfect. He has a capability that we don't have because of our sinful nature. But we are the apple of His eye. And we really need to make sure that we stay revived. Can you be thoroughly right with God? Why would you want to be thoroughly right with God when you can be decently right with God? Decent means nobody really knows how bad you really are. But thoroughly right with God means that there's no question that you're right with God. The eagle stirreth up her nest. Sure enough. Fluttereth over her young. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Taketh them. Beareth them on her wings. He lifts us up. We're supposed to be living in the heavenlies. Not crying the mully grubs. Not complaining. I want to close by, I put this down here. Really, if you lose your song, you're singing a dirge. A dirge is a lamentation of bitterness, animosity, and blaming others. Now watch this. You are either singing the songs of praise, or you are living in the dirge of complaining. You're either singing the songs of perfection because your eyes are on Him that is perfect, or you are singing a dirge of rebellion. You're either singing a song of purity, or you're singing a dirge of filthiness. You are either singing a song of promise, or you are singing a dirge of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when. Well, what about right now? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, most churches struggle because they're thinking about what they used to be instead of what they should be doing to make it better than what it used to be. See, God's not dead so he could give you a church full of people. But if you've got a negative spirit, why would anybody want to come? Amen. A song of purpose or a song of wandering, a song of warning. Or a song of apostasy. A song of peace or a dirge of anarchy. Listen, our nation's in anarchy. And the churches are apathetic. But God still wants an awakening. A man by the name of Edgar Stilts. In 1876, wrote a poem. This poem was picked up by D.L. Moody, who gave it to Ira Sankey. And they wrote a song entitled, Simply Trusting. There was a preacher that went to the nursing home to minister to a lady that was dying. Her future was completely dark, she said. She said, I can't trust my life in God's hands. And this man began to sing, simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way, even when my faith is small. Trusting. That is all. Trusting when the moments fly, trusting as the day goes by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus. That's all. That verse convicted her heart. Here it is again. Trusting when the moments fly. There's nothing worse than being sick and knowing you may not recover. My son works at JPS and he's a COVID nurse. And they said it's jumped from 30 to 60. And there are people that are on ventilators that are not going to make it. And they know it. This is like what the woman said. When she saw this verse, trusting when the moments fly, trusting when the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus. That's all. God has made the Christian life very simple. We complicate it. Oh, may God bring us to the place where we get our song back. When you go to preach, let's not talk about the doom and gloom. That's what they hear all week. What they must hear is that, thus saith the Lord, everything's all right. You don't have to worry about a thing. Be careful for nothing. That means worry about nothing. And everything by prayer and supplication. Notice now, with thanksgiving. Don't be praying without thanksgiving. If you pray with thanksgiving, God might just hear your prayer. And then, what's the third thing? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in who? Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Knickerbocker, for the message this morning. It's been good preaching today, hasn't it? I've enjoyed every bit of it. Take your Bibles, go with me to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, I want to read a couple of verses to you in the way of introducing the message to you, then give you a few thoughts, not necessarily out of Acts chapter number 3, but I'll base them from there. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. We know that the two individuals involved in Acts chapter number 3,
three, of course, are Peter and John, and they're headed to the temple to pray. It was the time of prayer. And you come down to verse number 19, and you find Peter preaching. And I really want to draw your attention to a phrase out of verse number 19, where Peter says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." I want you to notice this phrase, where the Bible says, "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I don't know about you, gentlemen, but I have found myself over the last several months needing some times of refreshing. And when I was over at Brother Harden's, like some of you other guys were, and he had mentioned that Brother Mosley was going to talk to Brother Mosley about hosting the fellowship today and about getting started back. And, well, I was in full agreement with Brother Harden. Brother Mosley, I'm glad you said yes. I never told you this, I don't think, but I told Brother Harden, if he won't do it, call me, let me know. And I just need some time of refreshing again. And so I just want to speak for a few minutes on that thought, times of refreshing. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and help us today. Our Father, we bow before you today. We thank you for what we have heard this morning. Thank you for the good singing. Father, thank you for the good preaching this morning. Father, thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for drawing me into that relationship with the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'd help me now as I preach. I pray that you'd give me a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I don't want to try to preach this message without the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask for your help today. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would do what he always does, that he would draw us into a more close relationship with our Savior. And Father, I pray that your will would be done in our hearts and in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm not very deep when it comes to preaching the Word of God. I look for the simple things because I'm kind of a simple-minded type guy. I want you to notice with me just this thought out of verse number 19. The Bible said there, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." When the times of refreshing, I want you to notice these two words, the Bible says, shall come. Now, I believe that we have the inspired Word of God and the preserved Word of God in the Bible. I don't believe that those words are there by mistake. I believe they are there on purpose by the Spirit of God preserving the Word of God. I understand that the King James Bible is the English translation off of the original languages. I understand all that, but I don't try to pick my King James Bible apart. When I see words in the Bible, I believe they are there on purpose, by God's design, by God preserving his word in the language that I speak. And I know some of you are sitting out there thinking, "Preacher, that ain't English." Well, I know it's a mixture of English and Texan, but you'll have to deal with that. I like those words, "shall come." I know that we have been in some dry times and perhaps even some discouraging times over things that have been going on the last several months. But I sure am thankful that God said that there would be times of refreshing that shall come. I'm looking forward to those times of refreshing. I don't know about you, but I've been refreshed today through the preaching of the Word of God, through the singing of the hymns. We've not done much of that, but praise God for the time of refreshing that he has given to us in these few short hours today. So I'm glad they shall come. Now, I thought about some men in the Bible that went through some times probably similar to what we are facing. Some of you that have preached prior to me have spoken about some of those guys. They're just Bible examples that God has given to us. I believe they're there for a reason, to help you and I. Sometimes we get to thinking we're the only one in the boat. But man, when you study the Bible, I'll find out, as Brother Fisher preached about the riot and the and the confusion there in Ephesus, I've heard that twice over the last week. Brother James taught our auditorium Sunday school class using that very same passage, talking about the very same instance. Hey, listen, we get to thinking we're the only ones that have ever experienced that, but we're not. We're not. There's nothing new under the sun. So I got to thinking about old David. First preacher this morning brought David up, used the exact same verse I'm fixing to use over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 6. Ziklag had been burned. His wife and his children had been taken captive. And then to make it worse, the church or his people were talking about stoning him. I have no doubt. I understand the words that saying David was greatly distressed. You ever been greatly distressed? Sure we have. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. At time of refreshing. That time of refreshing. I have the privilege of teaching historical books. Every year I teach through the book of Joshua, all the way down through the book of Esther. I love that portion of the Bible. I love teaching that portion of the Bible. Man, if there were ever any individuals in the Word of God that showed us times of refreshing, you go look at Nehemiah, what he dealt with, and boy, what a time of refreshing that you see in his life. I think about Ezra quite often. Over there in Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 8, you'll find these words written in the Bible. The Bible says, "And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God." Aren't you thankful for that little space of grace that God has showed to you and I? He went on to say to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Stay at home, they said. It's like telling a kid not to eat cookies, isn't it, to a Baptist preacher? Wasn't it? It is like that, but boy, we tried to stay at home. We tried to do what they told us to do. We tried to practice social distancing. About the very first time we started meeting back together as a church, I got up and I said, "Now, folks, practice social distancing." I looked out there and every man in the church.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We call that social distancing. Refreshing the time of our discouragements. Well, I'm thankful for God's grace this morning. I got to think about this, Brother Mosley. If God will do it for those men, he'll do it for us, won't he? In fact, I like what he wrote, and I think he wrote this to any and every Christian that'll take it to heart. Over to Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Hey, gentlemen, preachers, there's no reason for you and I to give up, give in, to quit. God will give us that time of refreshing every day of our life. Are you still in Acts chapter number 3? That's good. Let me show you this. This is really the message. I've just been kind of playing around so far. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 19. Notice where that time of refreshing comes from. They shall come. The Bible says, from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. If I study my Bible right, I found out that most time those gentlemen that found that time of refreshing got it because they were alone with God. They were alone with God. In the presence of God. Boy, there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord, is there? I like being around people. I'm just telling you, I'm a people type person guy. I am poor company when I'm by myself. And I like being around people. I really like being around my wife. But I can tell when I'm getting on her nerves because she'll say, "Don't you have something to do at the church?" I know what that means. And so that's time to go get alone with the Lord. You know? Presence of the Lord. That's where they found that time of refreshing. Boy, every one of you have encouraged me today with a thought, Brother Knickerbocker, about God keeping us. Boy, you got on that. I just about got a little bit happy in my soul. I might not have jumped up and shouted and ran or anything like that, but boy, just in my heart, I was thinking about how God has kept me and kept our church through all of this mess that has been going on. I thought about the verse where our Savior said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Boy, through all this COVID stuff and all of our government shuts down and all that, I never ever felt out of the presence of the Lord. He was always there. I thought about this verse, John chapter 16 and verse number 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Go ahead, say amen. Brother Mosley, run. Hey, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. That's what we've been enduring, tribulation. But be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what it means to be in the presence of the Lord, to know that our God is an overcomer. Notice in verse number 20, Acts chapter 3. Verse 19, he said, "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord," notice there's a semicolon there. I believe even the punctuation of the Bible is put there by God. It just means that the thought going into verse number 20 is connected to the thought in verse number 19. Verse number 20 says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." So not only do the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, but they come from the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several of you guys preached a little politics this morning, and I ain't again that. Every now and then I preach politics. Sometimes more often than my people would like to hear. I really like to preach it right up next to the election, because those people say, "Well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for." I always tell them, "If you don't know who to vote for, come talk to me. I'll be glad to tell you who to vote for, you know." And I can't do it from the pulpit, you know. But if you want to know personally afterwards, you come ahead. I'll be glad to give you some advice on that, who to vote for. And I'm not afraid to do that. Here's all I'm saying here, gentlemen. If we really want to refresh our people and encourage our people, let's make sure that we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach our Savior. Preach His truths. Preach His word. I always get worried when I go to fellowship meeting. This happens from time to time. And a preacher will get up and read a verse of Scripture, and then he starts talking about a book that he read. I'm sorry if I'm walking on toes. I was going to try to encourage y'all today, but I done went and messed up, didn't I? That happens from time to time. Let me tell you the words that I'm wanting to hear. I know there are good writers and good authors out there, and I do a lot of reading just like you and I do, but boy, there's the book right there. That's the book. Brother Engelman, I don't know your son, never have met him, but that things like that always impress me when somebody says, "What's your favorite book?" And a teacher, a professor, a coach, or whoever it might be will respond in that interview with that word right there, the Bible. That's encouraging. Preach the book. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach our Savior. Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus." He went on to write to the Ephesians, "Unto you, who am least than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." This book has unsearchable riches. I teach through Joshua down through Esther every year. And you know what? I've yet to exhaust those books in my studies. Seems like when I go back and start looking over notes and looking over lessons that I have previously taught and begin to read those books again in my studies, there's always something else that jumps out on the page, because there are unsearchable riches in the Word of God. So I believe if we want some times of refreshing, it'll come from the preaching of the Word of God. Then let me give you this last thought, and I'm done. It's interesting to me the setting of verse 19 and verse number 20 in Acts chapter number 3. It begins, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." When you look in verse number 21 and verse number 22 with that thought in mind, as Peter is preaching, he's talking about the times of refreshing. It comes from the presence of the Lord. He says that he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you. And then he goes into verse 21, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." And he's talking about how the prophets preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And then isn't it a kind of an amazing thing, and it really shouldn't be amazing to us, but it is, and it says, "For Moses." Now, you know that Moses was Israel's greatest prophet, and that's where they held him at. Moses, Israel's greatest prophet. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers," to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, and he preached to them, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Now, Moses is preaching Jesus Christ. He said he's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. Well, if you study the Lord's life and you look at Moses' life, you'll find out that they had a lot of things in common. One of those things is the thing that you find the setting of this chapter in. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. If you don't believe me, jump over to John chapter 17 and look at the Lord's prayer in John chapter 17. If you look at Moses' life, you'll find out that Moses was a man who had the privilege of talking to God face to face.
Yes, sir.
Face to face. Boy, what a wonderful picture of prayer. Here's just a few verses. Exodus 33:11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." You call me, "Preacher, I'm going to host the fellowship meeting. Do you think you can come?" I enjoyed visiting with you that day on the phone. We talked probably about an hour that day, didn't we, on the phone. Just couldn't get you to shut up. I had so much stuff to do, and you just kept on and on. And I enjoyed that conversation, but it's a whole lot better looking at you face to face. I know Brother Moses was thinking, "Boy, I wish Brother Sutton had his mask on this morning," but face to face, people, while we were broadcasting and most people were at home, they say, "Preacher, I listen to you every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night," but it ain't the same. You know why? Because we like that face to face, don't we? That face to face communication. Numbers 14 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people. Thou art Lord, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face." In other words, Numbers comes along and they said, the inhabitants of this land are going to tell people that Moses communicated with God face to face. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 4, a whole new generation of Israelites. Moses said, "The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire." Deuteronomy 34, verse number 10, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses." Listen to this last phrase, "whom the Lord knew face to face." Face to face. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Time of refreshing comes through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And times of refreshing come from those moments when you and I are face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Father, thank you today for your goodness to us. Bless Brother Leek as he preaches. Father, we thank you for every preacher that has preached today. Thank you for the times of refreshing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter number 22, please. Ezekiel chapter number 22. As you turn there, I want to say thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to stand and preach this morning. I've enjoyed myself here today. I tell you, it's been good. It's been refreshing. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sutton. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I can't think of any other place that I'd rather be this morning than in the house of the Lord. I still get that way. If you've got over the fact that you're under the blood, you ought to go ahead and get on the altar and get right. Amen. It's still exciting. Amen. You say, what's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. I got under the blood in December 1985. I've never quite got over that, and I'm not looking for a way out. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, and I appreciate God. I'm going to be honest with you this morning just to be as transparent as I can with my heart. I have a burden for this nation like most of you do. I have a burden. And what the burden is, it's I know there's been some politics, different things like that, and we're in trouble. We're in trouble times. But let me just say this by way of introduction. We're not in trouble because of the White House. Right. Hey, man, we're not in trouble because of the whorehouse or the White House or the crack house or the dope house. We are in trouble this morning because of the church house and the absence of Bible preaching all across this land. Yeah. You can like that or lump it. It doesn't matter to me. It's preaching time. I'm telling you, America's in trouble this morning because of the absence of preaching. Yes. You can like it or not. It doesn't matter to me. I'm here to help you. I want to preach the Word of God. God didn't call me to entertain anybody. He didn't call me to tickle people's ears. He called me to preach the blessed Word of God. I believe we'll take it serious. Amen. It burdens my heart when I look around and I see, yeah, there's a problem with this. There's a problem with that. But the greatest problem that I see is the silencing of preachers across the land. Yes. Well, our pulpits are silent. Amen. They are. And so that's this morning what's on my heart. I believe it'll be a help and a blessing if you'll just let me mind the Lord. If you found your place in Ezekiel 22, obviously a familiar passage of Scripture. If you stand with me as we give reverence to one verse here, I'm just going to read one verse. And we'll be quick as we can. I know the time limit, and I'll be done, and we'll go on to the next thing. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 is what I want to read this morning. And I know you know it, and you've preached it, but it's just what God gave me. And I sought for a man among them. He didn't say he sought a man above them. He sought for a man among them, common folks. I love the fact that we have an uncommon God who uses common people. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. That speaks of protection. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. I want to preach for a little bit on this thought. God will help me. God is still seeking for a man. Father, please help us this morning. I can't do anything in and of myself. I am nothing. I am absolutely worthless without your touch, without your presence. God, you know that I stand before men, Lord, in the flesh and nervous. And Lord, those butterflies are not quite in formation. But I'd ask you, God, that you'd anoint me today. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to hurt anyone. I'm not here, Lord, to do anything but to be obedient to my captain, to my commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, dear God, you'd make preaching easy for the while, but make it serious. Oh, God, when it comes down to the breaking of the bread, would you, God, feed our souls in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I really have a burden to see that we would get to a place. I'm probably the youngest preacher in here. I don't know. But I'm certainly definitely in that crowd of what would be definitely considered this generation.
I probably have more friends that are in their 80s and 90s than I do my own generation. You understand? I glean a lot from the old men of God. I believe those old men of God had something that we're missing today. They may not have had the education, listen to me. They may not have had all the understanding, but they had unction and they had power with God. I tell you what's missing the most in our churches this morning. It's not the people. It's not even sometimes the preacher, but it's the power of God. I'm telling you, we're doing a lot in the flesh. We're doing a lot to please men. We are doing a lot to do everything we can to keep from being offensive. I want you to know Jesus, when he sent his men out, he said, I did not come to send peace, but I came to send a sword. And a sword divides, friend. The Bible's clear. I want to say a few things as I go through introduction here to get where we're going. But notice the Bible tells us in this verse that he sought for a man. I don't have time to labor in the background. I like to do verse by verse exposition. But you understand, for the sake of time and the setting, that's not possible. But I want us to understand that there were some things going on in Ezekiel's time. There were some things going on that was probably uneasy. Some things that would have caused great distress. And you know, in the midst of that, God didn't say, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He didn't twist his thumbs. He wasn't in quarantine. He wasn't in isolation. He said, I'm sought for a man. God's always been looking for a man. I noticed some things. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9a, the first part, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It's not divided. I'm totally sold out to God. Doesn't matter what the government thinks about it. I'm totally sold out to God, even if the people leave. I mean, we're looking for that kind of man. I said, God is seeking for a man. Notice quickly that I'm simple too, Brother Sutton. That's okay, amen. He said that he sought for a man. Notice he didn't say that he sought for a woman. Now, I thank God for womanhood. I'm married to a beautiful woman, a wife, and I have three beautiful daughters. I thank God for that. But listen, I came with the intention, if God would allow me to preach, that I'd be preaching to some preachers. And I'm telling you, God didn't look for a woman. He sought for a man.
Amen.
I mean, we are living in an effeminate society where women are running the home and it's creeping into the church. God ain't looking for that. I still believe that a woman ought not to serve authority over man. God made it that way. Amen. I'm not disrespectful to women. I thank God. Some of the greatest influence I had in my life came from my granny. Amen. But he sought for a man. I want to tell you a few negatives. The kind of men God's not seeking for. I'm just going to lay it out there this morning, simple as it is. A kind of man that God is not seeking for. The first kind of man God's not seeking for is a sissy man. God's not looking for a man that's got lace in his drawers and he's got a noodle for a backbone and he don't know how to stand up on the blessed word of God and preach what thus saith the Lord. God's not looking for a sissy man. How do you know that? I know what Paul said about it. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:3, that ain't no sissy man. A soldier man's not a sissy man. He's not a panty-waist, amen. Some of y'all get mad, you get glad in the same bitch ass. I'm telling you, that's Bible, friend. Buddy, we got a generation full of sissies. Where's all the young men? Where are they at this morning? Where's all the young preacher boys? I may not be that old, but I'm old enough to remember being in meetings where God's men would stand and preach, and young boys would be all over the front waiting for an opportunity to get around a man of God.
Amen.
Where's the young men? I'm saying, where are they at?
Amen.
We got a generation of sissies. God's not looking for that kind of man. You won't be able to stand in these last days as a sissy man. That's why I let them close the shop.
That's right.
Hey, man, God's not looking for a sissy man. Number two, God's not looking for a silent man.
Right.
We got a bunch of quiet men. Listen, I'm not talking about the time we were to study to show ourselves quiet.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the house. But God's not looking for a silent man. A bunch of men, you know what they do? They stick their little finger in the air, see which way the wind's blowing, and if it's blowing just right, they might preach.
Yes.
They're awful silent on the issues. I'm not an issue preacher. I'm a Bible preacher. The preacher can't preach the whole content of the King James Bible and not deal with sin.
Amen.
And they don't mind if you call it sin. Sin. Amen, preacher.
I live in that church full of bastards.
Yeah.
I know, because they live in sin and they're no chastised.
Yeah.
You sound like that Bible preacher friend. He's not looking for a silent man. Isaiah 58:1 said, cry silent. That's not what it says. It says, cry aloud. Spare not. Don't you hold back. Lift up thy voice like a little flute.
Like
that ain't what it says. It said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Why? What's the purpose of that? Show my people. Show them their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58:1. A silent man will never show the people their sinful condition. He's too afraid they're going to leave and take their checkbook. God's not looking for a shameful man. I think I'm going to be honest with you. I'm ashamed of a lot of things I've done in my life. A lot of shame, a lot of regret of the things I did. Hey, listen, I got saved as a five-year-old boy. God called me to preach as a young boy, but I spent all my life walking with God. I ran from the call to preach because I saw the heartache that preachers go through. I saw preachers fall in sin. I've seen all the things that we're living through. I said, I don't want that life. I'm ashamed of that. But that's not the kind of shame I'm talking about. He's not looking for a shameful man. Paul said it like this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. I told you, we're missing the power of God. You know why? We got a bunch of shame people. They're ashamed of the name of Christ. They're ashamed to preach the blessed bloody cross. Thank God you can't take away the bloody cross. It's because of the cross you never saved. I'm talking about we can't have a shameful man make a difference in this land. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. God's looking for a man. He's seeking for a man, but he's not looking for a shameful man. I'll tell you something else. He's not looking for a sluggard man. I mean a sluggard man. I know it's simple, but listen, we got some sluggards up in the pulpit today. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I mean, we got some sluggards in the pulpit. They get online and find out what everybody's preaching and they bring it to the pulpit. They don't have no oil. Hey, listen, we got young men coming out of Bible college. Man, they got everything intact. Homiletically, they're intact. Everything's polished. But they got no touch of God. There's a difference. I can see it on some of your faces. I'm the God. Where'd that dinosaur come from? I'm telling you, that's how I was taught to preach, friend. I was taught we're supposed to stand up like a man and preach the Word of God. It's not in me. It's in the confidence of the Scripture that I preach. The sluggard, Bible says in Proverbs 24, will not plow by reason of the cold. Can I say this? It's cold spiritually. How's the temperature in your church? Are they just begging you to preach, preacher, preach, preach, preach? Preach on my sin. Tell me how long you told me I am. Tell me how weak you're going to have. I need an old-fashioned trip to a good old-fashioned altar. Preach. No, they're not lining up. They're not lining up out the back door. Preacher, if they really was, we couldn't put tape on the pews. They wouldn't let us. They'd be knocking them in.
Yep.
He will not laugh by reason of the cold. He says, man, I don't know. The temperature's just not right. I better preach. I believe the Bible said thou shalt not muzzle the ox. It treadeth out the corn. Amen. You know what man of God always been called in my life? I was heard before the plow hand. He's a drop in the plow. We're trying to run the gospel plow. Any man that puts his hand in the plow and he looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. I'm talking about they won't plow because it's cold. They're sluggards. And it says this. He said, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. It's harvest time. Did y'all know that? Jesus said, look on the fields or right in the harvest. It's harvest time. Where are they at? And the men are crying out, I can't get nobody. I tell you, are you plowing? I'm just trying to help us. I know it's simple, but I tell you, we've gotten away from the simplicity of our duty, men. Our responsibility is not to make everybody happy. A God called man is not to make everybody happy. A God called man is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the
terrible.
It ain't my job to make everybody happy. It's my job to preach the book. Sluggard will not plow. By reason of the code, and lastly, God's not seeking for a sellout man. You know what's wrong with these preachers today? I'm not saying, I'm just trying to encourage us not to be that crowd. There's a whole bunch of them that sold out to Almighty Dollar. Well, I preach that. I hear no time preaching. I preach all over this nation. I preach for miles from coast to coast. I said, I can preach like, I'm glad you preach like that. You're going home. If I preach like that, my office would dip next week.
Yeah,
I'm not picking a bit. I hear it all the time. Well, preacher, I know that's a sin. And I know that deacon, he's not qualified for that. And he's been in hand. I preach that, I'm going to lose my church.
Come on.
living in, we got a bunch of sellouts in the pulpit. Well, what does social media think about it? I watched this thing unfold. I didn't call anybody before I made the decision as a pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Well, I wonder what anybody else is going to do. No, I know what that book says. I've been reading it and preaching it a long time. I don't need somebody to tell me what God expects of me as a preacher. I'm not going to take a vote on what the city council says or the governor or anybody else. They don't have the right to tell me how to operate our church. I'm an independent Baptist, amen. I believe that God has us to approve on that book right there. I'm telling you, I'm not incorporated. You know why? That Bible is my sole authority. That Bible tells me how to operate there. I don't have a board. I don't have anybody telling me you need to do this.
Amen.
You need to do that. I listen to the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
I'm not sold out to that crap.
Amen.
Some of y'all are real quiet looking for quarters on the floor because you done sold out. You done sold out to social media. You just sold out to the internet crowd, but you ain't sold out to God. Sellout. God ain't looking for a sellout. You know, I thought about a man that's a sellout in the Bible. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself. What for? To work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. 1 Kings 21:25. I'm just talking about the kind of man God's not looking for. Now, that's the way I like to do it, get the negative out of the way and get to the positive. Amen. Amen. That's the kind. Hey, if you're in that crowd, he's not really looking for you. You know why? Listen, he loves you. You can be saved as you can be. But he's not going to use that kind of man. And I believe the reason a lot of men's not being used today is they fall in that category right there. But I'm going to tell you the kind of man God's seeking for. What kind of man is God seeking for? Number one, God's seeking for a man. It's amazing how God puts these things together. God is seeking for a prepared man. He's seeking for a prepared man. I'm telling you what's wrong with our generation of preachers before us. They're not prepared to be used of God. I had an old man of God by the name of Sam Davidson. Some of you might know him. I'll tell you what, he taught me young in the ministry, and I'm thankful. He taught me, number one, be a Bible preacher. Number two, he said, prepare yourself to be used of God in any situation. We got a generation that don't understand that. Well, I'm not prepared. You ask them for a testimony. I need 2 weeks' notice, preacher. Under God. I need you to preach this morning. I'm hurting. I need about a month to prepare. I just want you to preach 10 minutes. I know. I need a month. You know why? They're not prepared. Oh, they got all the education they can stand. They know everything up here, but it's never got here. God is seeking for a prepared man. You say, God won't let me preach. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Listen, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. It's an evil day. A lot of them's not standing. You know why? They're not prepared with the armor of God. He said, and having done all to stand, stand, amen. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thank God for the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Bible says, study, show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got a whole bunch of them. Listen, I'm not picking on anybody. I've been around a little while. I've been doing this a little while. And I'll tell you, I've heard a lot of preaching from the Bible. 10,000 miles from the Bible. I don't preach from the Bible. I don't preach out of the Bible. I don't preach about the Bible. I just try to preach the Bible. What does the Lord rightly divide it? The word of truth. It's not much being rightly divided. You've got a more ignorant generation of illiterate, biblical people that don't know the Bible. And a man of God will come and preach with us, say the Lord, and they look at you like you're hanging on a man's neck. Well, I didn't know that. I said, how many good King James Bible's word of God? Come on, raise your hand. A few of you are not ashamed of that. I love you. I'm looking for a shameful man.
Amen.
I want to say this to you. I love you. You only believe the part you obey.
That's right.
You only believe the part you obey. I'm telling you, God is looking for a prepared man. Amen. Not only that, number two, God's looking for a praying man. Can I just... My heart's so full. Because I see things. And I know y'all see it too. The difference is I never been trained how to just ignore it. I've never been trained how to desensitize it and just act like it ain't going on. Yeah.
The problem's not out there. And we can't preach out there to them.
You're right.
I expect lost people ain't lost.
Yep.
But God's men are the problem. And most of the time, because they're too busy trying to impress other God's men, they're too busy trying to impress the preacher with their knowledge and their eloquence and their intellect. They're too busy trying to preach and impress people than they are trying to motivate people to get on the last page of business with God.
Yeah.
When's the last time, preacher? When's the last time that God spoke you in the heart?
Amen.
And you walk on ahead. You got to make sure that God feeds me from the place where I'm going to pray. Amen. We got time to go to Facebook and Twitter and everything else. I hate all that stuff. I ain't really having it. I hate it. I don't even have a TV in my house.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I still know what's going on in the world. Because you know why? I talk to people.
Amen.
But I'll tell you who I talk to more than anything. I learned a long time ago, if you'll spend more time talking to God about people, you'll spend a whole lot less time talking to people about God. Because He'll make the way ready for you. That don't mean we don't go sowing. That don't mean I just can't. God will make the heart ready.
Right. Yeah. Right.
When's the last time you got on your face? Say, God, I'm not doing anything. I don't care what the brethren think. I don't care what the denomination think. I don't even care what the Bible colleges think. Mm-hmm. God, I'm interested in one thing and one thing only. Yeah. I'm interested in what pleases you.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. We used to do everything. We started and we stopped, and everything started and stopped on the altar of prayer.
Right.
I don't tell you why America's so powerless this morning.
Yeah.
It's because we're so prayerless.
Right. Yeah.
And our men of God in the pulpits today are prayerless.
Yeah.
They are always in it. I hear every shout. I'm busy. Hey, I'm busy too. I understand.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. Here's the end. I don't know what your practice is. I'm not here to tell you to do it like me. I'm just saying some things I learned from some older men of God. If I got to be at work at 8 o'clock, I'm up at 5 o'clock. Why? Because I am in no condition to come to anybody's contact face to face till I spend some time face to face with my Maker. Till I spend some time just getting quiet before God and let Him show me my sin. Because I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've got evil deeds in my heart. Why? Because I'm made up of the same flesh as you are. And I see so. And it bothers me. I'm telling you, I need to have the right spirit of God. And it can't happen if I don't spend time with Christ. And we wonder why the rain of God's not falling in the house of God anymore. We're too busy programming every day and programming God to come out the back door.
Yeah.
When's the last time the power of God just fell in your church and the God preachers in a minute? Huh? When's the last time you got up and sowed the seed and the wind was blowing so strong, brother,
out
20,000 miles from the perverted charismatic? I'm proud to shout out for God's way in your day. But here's the difference. I got ruined my whole time religion. I've been a man in the presence of God. My youngins know what it's like to be a holy ghost drink service. Some of y'all got real quiet. You know why? You don't know Him. You act like you know Him, but you don't, you just got weird on me right there. Oh, you want to live? Yeah, I'm one of them. I know where He's at. I know how to get to Him.
Come on.
When's the last time you got so hungry for God to send the manna in the church house that you just cleared off a spot and you prayed till God came down? I'm just trying to be honest with you. God's seeking for some praying men. You know this text, He said, I sought for men among them to make up the heads and stand in the gap for the land.
Yeah.
You know why America's in trouble? I'm going to tell you the truth. You like, you can, hey, you know, you want your brother Moses to be my friend. And brother Sutton, hey, man, I want you to know in here. Praise God. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not. But I'm telling you something. Our land's in trouble. Because God's seeking for a man to stand in the gap.
Right.
He's seeking for a praying man.
Amen.
But we got some men, but they don't spend no time in prayer. They're so spiritually ignorant. And they preach, and they wonder why there's no power in the preaching. It's because they haven't bathed it in prayer. I spend more time praying than I do anything else. It don't make me special. I still got a long ways to go. But I learned a long time ago the value. I can't do nothing without His touch.
Right.
He's looking for a praying man. The Bible says, if my people, you know the verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble them. There's the problem. We don't want to get humble. We're too worried about what brother so-and-so is going to say. When's the last time you just found yourself? I've been in some meetings. Y'all think we're real? You know, I've been in some meetings where the Holy Ghost and God's presence was so thick, I couldn't walk down to the altar. I've been about midway. I usually set up close. I've been to where I got there 2 hours early to find a seat, at least I'm midway back. I've been in some of those meetings, and God's power falls so thick. Brother, I'm going to walk to the altar. I'm going to tell you the truth before my family and everybody. nosebleed was there. I had to get out of my crawl. I wasn't on the one. I crawled and went all the way to an old-fashioned altar. Why? Because the power of God is real.
Yes,
have you ever got that hope on?
Amen.
You said that's flesh. I'll tell you, try to crawl on your hands and knees in front of 2,000 people. Try not to eat the shavings on the way. There's nothing prideful about that. We won't get humble. We think we got everything fixed, but we won't get humble and say, oh God. Oh God. I'm telling you, God said that my people, which are called by my name, we're not called by Republican. We're not called by Democrat. We're not called. Now, I am called independent, but before that, I'm a God-fearing, born-again child of God.
Amen.
And then I'm going to heaven to be saved. But I got saved and learned that Baptist is the way to go. So I'm going to go first class.
Amen.
I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. But he said he's looking for a praying man. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Amen. God's looking. I got to hurry. I didn't know I went over my time. Well, give me just a second here. God's looking for a preaching man. He's looking for a preaching man. There's not too much preaching going on. God said, preach the word. But yes, in season, out of season. Can I just go ahead and tell you it's out of season? It's not very popular right now to preach the word. But preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. God's looking for the kind of man that's not afraid to preach the book.
Yes,
he's also looking for a praising man. He's looking for a praising man. But thou art holy, O thou, that inhabitest the praises of He inhabits the praise of His people. You know why he don't show up? Because you ain't praising Him. That inhabit means to sit down and stay a while. He inhabits the praise of His people. David said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. His public praise. Well, we'll talk about our fishing game, our hunting game, all the things we enjoy doing. We'll talk about food. We'll sit around and talk about things around that table. But what about praising His name and declaring His name to your brethren in the congregation? There's two categories of men here today, and I'm done. There's the men, number one, that God's not seeking for. He's just looking right past you because He sees all these things. And there's the second category of men. It's men that God is. God is seeking. Let me ask you a question. I promise you, I didn't mean to go over my time. I'm sorry. But which one are you? Which one of the two? You and one of the two. You're either a man that God's seeking for, that He can use, or you're a man that God's looking past because He knows you're not usable. The last part of that text verse, I didn't read it, but here's what it says. But I found none. I believe God's looking for some men. But sadly, as I look around and I see the direction many of our churches are going, and I see the direction many men have decided to follow, I can't help but look in this book and measure it by this book and say, oh God, is it possible that you found none? And I pray, God, don't let me be the man that's in this category.
Yeah.
I don't care what people think of me. I really don't. But I care what he thinks. And I want him to put his hand on me.
Yeah.
And I want him to use me. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're ever going to see America get right, we're going to see help for our nation, for our children and our grandchildren. Where's the young men today?
Yeah.
If every one of the men of God in here dies out, I don't see a whole lot of young men standing up to take the mantle. You say, you can make fun of it all you want to. I still believe in old-time religion. I still believe in old-fashioned let alone preaching. I think we need some men that'll say, oh God, take us back to the place. But we're more concerned about what God thinks about it than what we are others.
Yeah.
Father, help us in Jesus' name.
You bow your heads this morning. I'm going to ask Ms. Noble to come to the piano. We're not going to